All right, good morning, Bridgepoint. How we all doing? Everybody feeling good? Awesome. Awesome. Thank you all for coming out. Super excited about this. You are a part of one church expressed across multiple locations, including people that are tuning in online. And so wherever you're engaging with us today, thanks for being here. The fact that you would come and check out what God wants to do in and through us means a lot to us, but we also believe that together we're going to move forward and make an impact in our city, across our county, and literally around the world. So I'm glad that you're here, especially if you're new. If it's your first time, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for coming and just seeing what God's doing around here. Make sure you stop by a table or info counter on your way out. Let us know that you're here. We have a little something we'd like to give you just to say thanks for hanging out with us. You are all joining us for week 2 of a series we are calling Neighbors. So if you missed last week, you can catch all of our messages archived on the website, bridgepointfl.com. You can look up messages that are posted there so you can catch back up with that. But here's what you need to know about week 2, all right? I made an assumption on your part that no one has yet been upset about. This message is actually going to be broken into 2 total messages because I assumed that nobody wanted to sit and listen to me preach for an hour plus, all right? You are welcome, okay? But here's what that means. You have to come back next week, all right? You have to. By being here today, you're committed to this. It's a contractual agreement. I'll give you my best. You give me 2 weeks in a row. You'll see why as we work through this message. Unfortunately, I met some folks in the first service here at the Tyrone campus that were down from Maine vacationing, and that's going to be a long commute, but I told them they have to come back and get part 2 of it. This is a 2-part message. So make plans right now for next Sunday. Bring somebody with you when you come. This series has already been a lot of fun because we kind of kicked it off with some big content, and we're going to ride this content really through the rest of this series. But here's what you need to know if you weren't here last week. Following Jesus, for those of us that have made that decision, means that you have a purpose in a community and for a community. You have a purpose in a community and for a community. This month, we are preparing for a huge launch of our groups the first week in February. You're going to hear a lot about it on every campus, and especially next week. I mean, you ain't seen nothing yet, all right? We are praying that everybody on every campus, and even those of you that are tuning in online, that are already beginning to ask questions and prepare yourself to seek out a group, because 2020 is your year to get connected. It's not enough. We hope that you enjoy whatever expression of Bridgepoint that you're tuning into today and that you weekly participate in, but it is not enough to just show up on a Sunday and go back home. You need to be surrounded, and you have a purpose in a community. So get connected. We'll tell you more about that next week. Really excited about those opportunities. But as much as you have a purpose in this place, if this is where God's leading you, you have a purpose for Pinellas County, for your neighborhood, for your work, your school, the people that you interact with. You have a specific role to play in what God wants to do in and through their lives as well. That all begins and was unpacked last week. So if you missed it, go back and catch it. Because we piggybacked off a question, somebody in the Bible that was trying to say, am I doing enough for God? And he asked, so who specifically is my neighbor? But what that really revealed is a deeper question he was asking, and a question probably all of us have at some point or another asked ourselves is, who am I? Who am I? And we processed together last week that the short answer of that is you are loved by God. I'm loved by God. That's the answer to that question. And it is from that place that you and I begin to live out our purpose and be all that God made us to be is when we embrace and hold tightly to the fact that we are loved by God. There's a lot of power to that. And to jump off for today's message, I want to process even that truth, because the temptation is to ask ourselves this or even get to a place where we begin to doubt it. So what's key in hanging tightly to the truth that we're loved by God? What's important related to that? How do we do that? What's a tangible way to know if we're holding on to what's true or allowing lies to influence us? And I was instantly reminded of, in preparing for this message, of a proverb that the writer of Proverbs wrote in chapter 4 of Proverbs, verse 23, which says, above all else. You feel the weight of that? I don't want you to miss that, especially for those of you that this is a familiar verse. Above all else, Like everything else that you and I are going to do in our lives and do in pursuit of God or in relation to other people, above everything else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard the fact that you're loved by God. Hold tightly to what's true and let nothing get in there that's going to take away from that truth. Guard your heart. Why? Because everything you do flows from that space. Above all else, guard your heart. So, question for you as we kind of jump into this message today. What's the last week looked like for you? In your actions, in your words, and even some of the thoughts that you've had, do you like what you're seeing from yourself? Because if not, if I'm not liking it, if you're not liking it, then what that reveals is that we have a heart problem. Because from our hearts flows everything else that we do. And that's why it's critical, I'm confident, that the writer of Proverbs says, above everything else, hold tightly to your hearts. Hold tightly to protecting it from things that aren't true and things that don't matter. Because from that space, everything gets affected. Everything gets influenced. Everything can be even warped from that. And we jump off from that place that with an unguarded heart, it opens a door that in the way we interact with other people gets very, very tainted and very, very blurred. And we become something that God never intended for our lives because of this big idea. We justify ourselves, and we talked about justifying last week. We justify ourselves based on our intentions, but we tend to judge others based only on our actions. It is so easy for me to feel really confident that I didn't mean to do something that I did. I didn't mean that. That's not what I meant to say. That's not what I meant to do. That's not the way my post was intended to be received. I didn't mean that. But when it comes to you, really what I focus on is what you did, period. Whether you meant to do it or not, what I end up judging people on, and if you're honest with yourself too, what you judge people for is not what they meant in a situation, but it is often what they did. And from that place, we leave holding tightly to that we're loved by God and we get to see people differently. We leave justifying even ourselves and don't offer anyone the same level of grace that we desire for ourselves. We just judge and condemn oftentimes based on what we've seen someone do. That post, that word, that statement, that action, that attitude, we judge folks off of it. And that can be an incredibly dangerous and slippery slope to live our lives because it opens the doors of our hearts to receiving information and viewing people opposite of what God would have for us to do. Because to make an impact with a neighbor, and I'm not talking necessarily about the literal person that lives next door to you, although they apply. To make an impact for people, you're going to have to embrace not only God's love for you, but his intent for you to love others. But we can't do that if we're busy judging people. Here's a little bit what I mean about this. This message was a little bit difficult to prepare, and so I'll confess to you that this one has been a little bit heavy for me related to my story, my past, and my journey. But it's been said that when we open the doors of our hearts, when they're unguarded and we're not holding tightly to things that matter, and that's the moment that bitterness or our anger or frustration or worry and all sorts of other things can flood and creep into that. Bitterness specifically, this isn't my original thought, this is a quote that's circled around. Bitterness is the thought that's kind of equated to drinking poison in the hopes that it kills someone else. That's bitterness. And in order to illustrate it, I brought a cup of poison up here for you. This is obviously a real illustration because I wouldn't mess with your mind in any way. You'll see what I mean here in just a second. We allow others' actions. We allow others' attitudes. We allow others' our experience with others to deeply affect us. It's like drinking poison. Here's how that breaks down really practically. There are 86,400 seconds in every day. We'll have a bad 60 that tends to involve someone else, and we'll throw out the other 86,340 because of a bad 60 seconds. It's a tendency for all of us. That's sort of like me handing you $86,400 and saying, hey, here's my gift to you. Please live it up. And then some random Joe walks up and steals $60 from you. And the action, how that would play itself out, is for you to say, well, I don't want the rest of it because some people think they can act like that. Unbelievable. I would never do that. We laugh about something like that, but almost every single day we'll allow a minute fraction of an experience with an individual to not only fully judge them, but to fully impact us. That's an unguarded heart. Because here's how it looks like. I can't believe they would post something like that about them. How does that reflect on them? Unbelievable. Can't believe my boss kind of stomping in here having that attitude. Who does she think she is? I bet she sits at home and just dreams of a way to make my life miserable. I can't believe that political party would have those ideas. They're really trying to kill this country. They're all frauds and they're evil people. Unbelievable. I bet they sit around and just think about how to get back at me. Like I'm looking at their profile and they're smiling and looking at the camera. That's probably directed just to spite me. Slowly sipping on poison. Now these have been funny, but let me be really real and honest with you. And that's why I took a seat, because I wanted to have a little chat. In my story, and in my journey, when I look at places that I've drank the poison, that I've allowed the bitterness into an unguarded heart, that I've let my guard down and allowed someone else's actions to get a hold of me, I look at my family, extended family, and I think, how could you make a choice like that? Don't they consider how that affects me? Do they even care? Why won't they get help? Why won't they listen? Why don't they care about how that's affecting me? How that's affecting my family? They're probably doing it intentionally. They probably just literally disrespect me that little. They probably targeted me. They probably love me so little that they think they can just treat me however they want. This is unbelievable. How could anybody ever let something like that happen? They behave that way thinking that it's okay. They have those kind of actions. They have that kind of attitude. They take that kind of position on life. This is just unbelievable. And slowly but surely, we allow other people's actions to affect our hearts. Now, let me be totally honest. In the story and related to my family, these are real issues. This is heavy stuff. And I'm not going to pretend that I can relate perfectly to every issue that your heart has tempted to carry or been affected by. I can't relate to the betrayal that you felt. I can't relate to the harm necessarily that you've endured, the offense that you've navigated. I can't relate to what happened long time ago. I can't relate to what happened last night. I can't relate to what happened in this past week. And not everything needs to be this really heavy, weighty stuff. But if we're honest, I think all of us on every campus engaging with this message today have had at least some interaction that has harmed us. And if left unchecked and unguarded, we will begin to drink the bitterness. We will begin to let the anger fester. We'll begin to let that wound infect us. And that's where things really get unhealthy. Because that's not God's best for us. You see, when it comes to the sake of our neighbors, I wonder if the reason more people aren't in tune with what it means to follow Jesus is because more of us spend more of our time drinking the poison of bitterness, anger, and frustration, and more of our neighbors look at that and think, why would I want to follow Jesus if they're just like me? If they handle conflict the same way that I do, if they handle pain and heartbreak with the same weight that I carry. And if we can begin to sip on that poison, if we can allow that bitterness to grow, then suddenly it makes total sense that we can justify our intentions. We're fine. We didn't mean that. We didn't do that. We didn't deserve that. We didn't cause that. And we can stay really busy just judging, just condemning in our hearts, just allowing that to grow and to fester and to take root in us. But every time we sip on that poison, every time that bitterness happens, every time that anger is left unchecked and unguarded inside of us, it begins to actively kill something that, at least according to God's word, Jesus intended to be alive. It begins to actively work against what God wants to do in and through you, that you stop becoming and experiencing the life Jesus died so that you and I could live, and instead we work against that by slowly sipping the poison, by slowly killing those places that Jesus came to set free, because we're not concerned about, above everything else, guarding our heart. We just allow whatever to flow from it. Some of you showed up to Bridgepoint and tuned in today carrying some really heavy burdens. Some of us have carried and felt some real pain in life. And here's what you need to know. This is just the honest truth, that as long as imperfect people like me and imperfect people like you continue to live and interact with people on earth, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be pain, there's going to be hurt and harm that's a part of it. But how we interact from that and through that is incredibly important, because to allow ourselves to sip from the cup of bitterness in an effort to hurt someone else only ever affects us. Jesus actually was really critically concerned with our hearts. Again, trying to help people understand that he's not this God that has a clipboard in heaven judging and rating your behavior. In fact, in one of Jesus' sermons that's recorded in Matthew, here's what Jesus said specifically about that. Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." He's talking about Mosaic law, Old Testament stuff. And I hope that we're all in agreement that murder is bad, right? But look at what Jesus says about this. "But I, Jesus, I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Equating the attitude of your heart with the action of murder, because of how that affects you, because of how that poison of bitterness affects me, because of how it manifests itself in our heart, and because it kills and causes to die and decay things that were intended to sprout life and meaning and purpose for us. In the same message, just a few verses later, Jesus goes on to say, "You've heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" Again, Old Testament behavior measurement. But Jesus says, "I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." It's almost as if he knew that the moment we get comfortable with sipping on the bitterness, and the moment we allow that anger to grow and take root inside us, and the moment it continues to stretch and overtake those life-giving spaces enough, it just gets easier and easier and easier to judge, accuse, and condemn other people for what they have done. This is not a message that's going to make light of or try to quantify or qualify anyone else's actions towards you. This is just a message that I want you and I to be concerned with your heart and mine. Because Jesus says, pray, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you. That's so heavy.
Because if I'm honest, my attitude towards people that offend me looks much more like, God, please let them find every Lego while they're barefoot inside their house. But can you picture what it must be like to be God sometimes? To have one of your children come and want to talk to you? I must imagine that that part's great. But then when the child shows up and says, God, I know you're the father of everyone and you created everybody, but can I just take a moment to talk to you about why your son is such an idiot and the decisions he makes are so stupid? He must be so proud. Because when we sip on bitterness, when we drink that poison, it taints our opinion of other people whom, by the way, God loves desperately. Jesus is saying, check your heart. You may not have killed somebody, but what's going on in here? Are you loving enemies? Are you praying for people that are making your life difficult? Even Hebrews goes on to talk about how weighty bitterness should be treated. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Every offense, every experience, point people back to the hope we have in Jesus. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. That bitterness will grow inside of us in such a way that it affects our opinions, it affects our actions, it affects the lens through which we view other people, so much so that we will deviate from God's best to live what we perceive is our best, which is actually a manifestation of the death growing inside of us. And I do it so often. I choose that so regularly. I'll drink that so willingly with no concern about anybody else, but only concern for justifying my own intent and action. See, I want to make something clear. Salvation and rescue that's afforded to you and I through God's grace, your rescue is secure, all right? Your salvation is secure in Jesus. That if you've received that, you've taken hold of it, you don't have to question if what you're doing is undoing it, because all of us will always fall short of God's best for us. But are you actually actively working against all the life Jesus intended for you because of how you're interacting with other people related to the bitterness and the anger that's growing inside you? Ephesians, Paul goes on to talk about it like this. Get rid of all bitterness. Don't hang it up. Don't try to minimize it. Don't justify it. Don't say they deserve it. Don't hang it up for a later day and pass by it. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. This is an active pursuit that we do to keep that out of the life-giving part of what God's trying to do inside of us. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. How do you forgive some of the things that have been done? How do you forgive some of those actions? How do you forgive some of those words? How do you forgive and navigate some of those experiences? That it almost sounds so easy that we just say, well, I'm going to get rid of those things. I'm going to be kind and I'm going to forgive people. And we'll just snap our fingers and everything's taken care of and tomorrow will be great. But some of us have some real hurt. Some of us are actively in situations that are not God's best in a relationship, and it stings. It's so tempting and it's so easy to grab the bitterness and drink that instead of working and praying about forgiveness. Some of you are carrying experiences that are just downright evil. And what gets so easy for all of us is just to say, this is not possible. This is not possible. And here's what I want to tell you. You're right. It's not possible for me to find the level of forgiveness that I need based on some of the offenses that I've experienced in my life. It's not possible for you to find that in and of your own strength. We're just not capable of it. But that's why we needed Jesus. That's why we needed him to take our dead hearts and make them alive and to rescue us from this life. So how then do we address unforgiveness? How then do we address offense and conflict? How then do we navigate interpersonal relationships? Well, Paul actually spells it out. We work hard to get rid of those things. How? Forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. If you've never trusted Jesus to be forgiveness for you, to forgive you from your past and your story, the places you've been, the things you've done, the things that have been done to you, the people that you have done those things with, then I want you to know today, just as in every single day, because of what he has done on the cross, and because even death couldn't hold him down, forgiveness is available to you simply by trusting, by faith, by just trying to hang on to the truth that that's real. But for the rest of us that have trusted Jesus, the reason this isn't such a big, weighty bomb is because far too often we treat sin way too lightly. We just think, yeah, I missed the mark. Silly me, I do it almost every day. Shoot. Sin is missing God's best for our lives. It's missing the mark. But it's a deep offense to him. And here's why I think we mistreat it. If you walked up to me right now and you punched me in the face, I would probably cry. I just would. That's who I am. And the honest truth is I'm a lover, not a fighter, so I probably wouldn't even do anything to get back at you. I'm not proud of that, but that's who I am. But if you walked up to the mayor of St. Petersburg and punched him in the face, you'd have some issues on your hand. Or if you walked up to the governor of our great state of Florida and punched him in the face, I hate to think what might happen to you. And like him or not, if you punched the president of the United States of America in the face, best I can offer you are some prayers, but you are in deep. Aren't all people created equally? Yes. But there's different statuses to folks. I'm not the president. Our sin has been committed against a holy, altogether different, set apart, good, right, just, true, loving God. We have sinned against him, and what we deserve for that is real, and it's weighty, and it's heavy, and the fact that we can operate in God's love enough to be forgiven, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, enables something to occur in our dead, lifeless hearts that have come alive, that can free us to look on others differently than we see for ourselves. Here's what I mean. In fact, it goes on in Romans. Paul still talking says, for if while we were God's enemies, do you feel the weight of that? You and I, because everyone has missed God's mark. Everyone is a sinner. While we were in full opposition of God, we were reconciled to him through the death of Jesus, his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? That God loved us enough that you and I, for those of us that by faith are receiving God's gift, that while we were once enemies, we get to experience God's love and forgiveness for the rest of eternity. So who are you? You are loved and you are forgiven. And from that lens, that changes the opportunity for you to interact with other people. But only if you're willing to guard your heart. So how do you guard your heart? There's lots of ways and lots of processes, but for the sake of this message, I just want to process one thing. I'm convinced that if we will get really good at this, this will be the loudest communication to our neighbors that there is a better way, a better life, a better hope, and a better love that is offered by God in Jesus. But how do we guard our hearts? We embrace forgiveness. And how on earth could we ever do that? The power to forgive comes from the power of being forgiven by Jesus. Listen to me. If you haven't heard anything else that I've said today, forgiveness is available to you. And I think from the power in which you and I have the opportunity to taste forgiveness, it can shape the forgiveness we have the opportunity to offer to others. But I need to pause for just a second because I need you to hear exactly what I'm about to say. Forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean you go back into a space that you've been harmed in. God's forgiveness and the forgiveness we have the opportunity to offer to others does not mean you go back to the relationship or you go back to the situation or you go back to the deep, dark place where you have been harmed, because God's best for your life never involves harm. It never does. So a conversation may never be possible for forgiveness to be experienced. Sitting in front of somebody may never be possible for forgiveness to be extended. And you may never go back to that relationship and what could have been because of it to experience that in person. And so I am not suggesting, nor would this church ever condone, you going back into harm's way to do something from God, because God wouldn't put you in that position. But you do have an opportunity that your heart can experience the freedom that God has intended for you as you remember the freedom that you've experienced from Him. Please don't miss hearing what I'm trying to say. You and I don't have the power to do this in and of ourselves. It's too much. It's too heavy. It's too real and it's too raw. But the power to forgive doesn't come from us. It comes from the power of being forgiven by Jesus. I wonder if the message that our neighbors need to hear from us is that we're a forgiven people and therefore we forgive. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Before I pray, I just want to process one question with you. Two, maybe. Have you experienced God's forgiveness? Do you know what it's like to have your past forgiven? Do you know what it's like to not have that define you and be held over your head? Do you know what it's like to walk in freedom from those chains that used to hold you down and minimize the life that God intended for you? Because that's God's offer in Jesus for you today, right now. But two, for this message, for today, I'm not asking you to do anything for, with, or to anybody. I'm just asking you, are you living in the forgiveness that you've received? Are you guarding your heart by not power that exists within you, but power that we get to draw from our God? Because until we get to a space where we forgive ourselves, receiving God's forgiveness, receiving the forgiveness of ourselves of what our past has been, we cannot do this in and of ourselves. It's all about Jesus. He's the only hope for these dead hearts to come alive. He's the only hope for these dead places that we've poisoned with bitterness and anger, frustration, worry, stress, and everything else to find life. It's all about Jesus. Have you received that forgiveness in your life? I'm not justifying, I'm not excusing, I'm not quantifying or qualifying anyone's behavior, actions, or attitudes towards you. I'm simply trying to address the life that God intended for you, and it begins in your heart. So pray with me. Jesus, today's message just feels so heavy. It's probably because I'm not good at this. It's probably because I'm carrying some weight myself. God, it's probably because we all know what it's like. So God, for the next few moments, would you allow us to hold tightly to your love and to walk freely in your forgiveness, rooting out the dead places inside of us, the poison that we so often drink, to be free to be all that you created us to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.